Welcome to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, Courageously Expanding Love, with me, Elizabeth Cunningham. Has the way that love has arisen in you seemed out of place or even taboo? My mission is to expand the conversation of love in the world. Is it possible to have deep, loving, healthy relationships? Have you ever been curious about having more than one relationship or partner at a time? Get ready to transform in love, be courageous, and set yourself free. In this show, we talk about relationships, sex, love, and the ways we wish we could be, but never thought were possible. I shed light on things that are not always talked about with conversations about expanding love. The Elizabeth Cunningham Show starts now.
All right, welcome to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, Courageously Expanding in Love. And today we are talking about sovereignty in polyamory. But before we get into that and introduce our phenomenal guest, a reminder that the Elizabeth Cunningham Show is live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific time on the Transformational Network Facebook page and is then aired on YouTube and podcast every Thursday. All links are in the show notes for you. So on today's episode, we'll be talking with Annie Matten about sovereignty in polyamory. Kohenet Annie Matten is an ordained Hebrew priestess with a thriving business that offers spiritual guidance, superpower mentorship, and facilitation of life cycle rituals and sacred spaces. A Jewish, queer, polyam single mama, Annie is passionate about supporting people of all genders to feel seen, heard, and held as their whole selves in all of the spaces of their life. Her customized weddings, baby welcomings, funerals, and other life cycle transition rituals honor the realities of interfaith, queer, and polyam folks by weaving together their families and ancestral traditions with the authentic contemporary values. In her recently launched Sex Goddess Spiritual Guidance and online Red Tent Circles, Annie offers coaching on sex and our intimate relationships with our bodies, ourselves, and our partners. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for being here, Annie. I'm so happy you're here.
I am so excited to be here. Yeah, it just feels a bit surreal to get to be here with you, Elizabeth, and get to have this conversation. And because my names are not typical English names, if it's okay, I'll just say for anyone who's wondering how to say Kohenet means priestess in Hebrew, so it's Kohenet Annie Matten.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
No. How would you have known? It's totally great.
I guess I could have asked you. As I was saying it, I was like, oh my God, I usually ask. We had such a good conversation about setting up the show and I didn't ask that question. I do every single time. I'm like, how do you say your name? I want to say your name right. Oh my gosh.
That's okay. Look, transparent leadership for all those watching. It's great.
Yes, perfect. Fantastic. Okay, can you say it again?
Kohenet Annie Matten.
Kohenet Annie Matten.
Yes. You got
okay.
It. Perfect.
Beautiful. Oh, I love that. And it really is. It's so important to be able to have your name be pronounced correctly. I mean, it's just such a foundational thing. That's my personal opinion. So thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for speaking up for yourself, which is perfect for this topic today.
Yes.
Because we're talking about sovereignty. And sovereignty in polyamory. And I'm so excited to dig into this. So let's go. How did you come to this? I know that you have an interesting backstory about this as well. And we don't have to like fully get into it. But how did you come to really realize how important sovereignty in polyamory is?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it starts with sovereignty. First of all, just sovereignty in relationships. And because I am navigating my polyamorous life, I was like, oh, this feels like a big aha moment. So I linked what I've been learning about sovereignty to how to navigate in relationships. And so the how we got here, I do want to say, because there's a piece of the backstory that's really cool. About a year and a bit ago, I got to have a healing intuitive session with this amazing practitioner named Aniza. And there was a visualization. And in the visualization, I was emerging from this like sea onto an island. And I received this message from these women who received me on the island. And they said, "Welcome, Queen, to the Island of Queens." And suddenly my understanding of what queen meant shifted. Mm-hmm. And that phrase has also shifted since then to welcome queen to your circle of queens. Because we were standing in a circle and each of us fully empowered in our truth, in our wisdom, our knowing, our emotional centers. We were also in this vision naked. So we were vulnerable and powerful. Like myriad bodies, and we weren't alone. We were together in this collaborative circle of community and strength. And there's just I feel like there's a foundational energy of that vision that has really carried through since I had that experience and become really amplified, louder, more recently as I've been thinking about like, what does that mean? What does that mean for me in community and leadership, in my family relationships, and in my polyamorous relationships? And for me, it connects to the concept of solo poly, where, you know, my understanding of this kind of sovereignty is like, is I am my own primary, and my experience, emotions, and needs are my responsibility, first and foremost. And especially that means it is my responsibility to discern, articulate, and advocate for my needs. And I choose to be in relationship with people who are invested in supporting me in discerning, articulating, and advocating for my needs, and invested in supporting me to get those needs met. And that's needs and desires and boundaries. So in, you know, in polyamory, we can, often we have many people we're navigating relationships with, but what is the one constant relationship is us, our relationship to ourselves. My relationship to myself needs to be, I believe, solid, paramount, clear. And by the way, I'm not 100% there yet. Like, lest any of you think, oh, wow, she really has it together. I feel like it's a constant process. Mm-hmm. So that's, I guess, a very long answer to your question, just to link the concept of sovereignty, which I also want to redefine. You know, old school definitions of sovereign, of king or queen, was about rulership, power over. And I really love this new energy of centered in our own power with and for ourselves and in consentful collaboration with others rather than in a hierarchical situation.
Beautiful. And I mean, you answered one of my questions already, which is like, what does sovereignty mean to you? Because mm-hmm. I do think that sometimes when we talk about sovereignty, there's this idea of like selfishness that comes up in it. It's like, oh, well, if you're your own sovereign being, you're only worried about your own emotions. And maybe there is kind of like that power, you know, like that little hint of like that power, like, oh, I am more important than, in that power dynamic, because you are important.
Yes.
I think that it's also important to say like, it's okay to be important. Like,
yes.
This totally, and especially as women,
yes.
You know, it's like, it's okay to be important, and it is okay to be the most important.
Yes. Exactly. That's exactly what I would say is, yes, somebody might call you selfish and be like, yes, I want to be concerned with myself. And especially, as you said, especially as women socialized in the patriarchy, we are conditioned to put our own needs last. And it's exceptionally important. Most of us don't even know how to have needs because we were not allowed to have them for so much of our lives. Even asking ourselves the question, what do I need right now? That doesn't come easily. And it's not only for women, I should say. You know, I was on a date recently with a cis man, and we were trying to make a decision about something that was going to happen next. And we were like snuggled up, and I was like, okay, so he kept asking me, but what do you want? What do you want? And I was like, I'm going to do a thing right now. I'm going to move away from you and invite you to tune into your own needs and desires and your own body and your own energy. And I did. I wanted him to know I wasn't like leaving his physical space as any form of rejection. So I was really transparent. And he took a moment to center and he said, no one's ever done that before. No one's ever invited me to tune into my own needs in this way. And from that place, we were able to navigate really easily. You know, he realized he was able to say out loud what he wanted. And I was like, great, how can I support you in getting that need met? And I mean, I feel like actually because this is a conversation, you know, you host conversations about love and relationships. Right. The question was whether it was a date. And the question was whether or not he was going to sleep over. And he was worried about hurting my feelings if he wanted to leave. And I was like, no, we should both do what we need to do. And he did decide to leave. And that felt great and authentic and grounded. And there's a time in my life, maybe not that long ago, when I would have thought that was bad. Like, oh, that was a bad date. You know, something happened. And I feel like this is a great example. So I'm going to go back a step and say the something that happened was that we were being sexy. And I realized, like, I caught myself doing this. Like my body was saying, I need to stop. And I listened and I said, I need to pause. And then he was amazing. And like, of course, no problem. How can I support you? Let me get you some water. Let me hold you. Let's talk. And the conversation that ensued was about like learning about consent and how we communicate and how to be in our own energy and space. And again, I think at another time in my life, I would have been like, oh no, something bad happened. I felt bad. And then he left. But that's not how it went down. Like we both, I feel like that whole experience was such good practice in noticing, articulating, and advocating for each of our needs. And it felt like actually a really good date to me as a result. And a really helpful learning experience about how to do this thing that we are absolutely not well trained in doing in our lives, in any facet of our lives.
Yeah. Well, and you brought up so many good points. And I think one of the things that I'm hearing kind of behind that is letting go of how things should be or how the quote unquote how things should be, how dates are supposed to go. And especially when you have someone who identifies as a cis woman, you know, going on a date with a cis man, there's such a tendency to kind of fall into those grooves that we have been conditioned, taught, has been totally normalized, that like this is what men do on dates. This is what women do on dates. This is how it's supposed to go. And we could talk for the rest of the episode about just specific instances probably between that we both of us have had in those situations. And being able to check in, like take a step back, check in, give yourself permission to take a step back, check in, what do I actually want? Ask the person who you're with, what do you actually want? And it's so beautiful because sometimes when we do that, it does get a little weird and awkward, like, oh man, like, because it's new territory because we don't do that.
Yes.
I think that's just, I love that that happened. I love that we're talking about, I'm just like, I feel like I fangirl over my, all over my guests, like every episode. I'm just like, I love this so much. Yeah, it's so good. Okay. I think anything else that you want to say about, cause we're going to go and break here really quick. But is there anything else that you want to say just about like being sovereign before? And then when we come back from break, what I really want to dive into is like, what are, like, what's kind of the things that you come up against? Like, what do you see yourself come up against? What do you see others come up against? Like, we talked a little bit about the selfish thing, but, like, where do we really get stuck and stopped in this? So anything else you want to say just about, like, what sovereignty is and, like, what this topic is before we go on break?
Yeah, I want to come back to that idea about selfishness and that sovereignty means I am the most important person to me, because if I, you know, there's a Hebrew, if I am not for myself, who will be for me? And that, you know, it is my responsibility. And then I share that with the people I choose to share it with. It's not, I'm only for myself and for no one else. It's, I need to be for myself first. And I want to throw out oxygen mask principle as a useful analogy. You know, if we're talking about airplanes, you must put the oxygen mask on yourself before someone else, because you got to still be breathing. You got to be breathing long enough to do it for someone else. And this concept of sovereignty is about challenging that conditioning and allowing ourselves to choose ourselves first so that we can be thriving and strong and healthy and also choose others.
I think that that is such a breath of fresh air. As you were speaking, I felt myself like breathing in deeper. Oh, beautiful. Okay, well, we are going to go on a short break here, and then we come back where, yeah, let's talk about like the sticking points, because it's not easy to just be like, okay, I'm sovereign now. Like, what what do you even mean? And like, how do you even do that? And what do you come up against? So that's what we're going to talk about when we come back from break. Welcome back to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, courageously expanding in love. And we are here with Annie, and we are talking about sovereignty in polyamory. And on our past section, we talked about what is sovereignty? What does it actually mean? What is like, what's the energy around it? How did you come to this yourself? And so if anybody has missed the first part of this episode, definitely go back and listen to it, because it was absolutely beautiful. And now we're going to get into more of the stickiness. And so what, like, we'll start with you. Like, what has come up for you? What's been really challenging for you personally in this idea of like becoming sovereign, being the sovereign person, and taking on more of like the solo polyamory that you've been operating inside of?
Whew. Okay. So it's pretty new. I want to acknowledge that even identifying with solo polyamory is really new for me. I did not ever imagine that I would. The polyamory piece is not so new, but I didn't really know how it was going to work out. I think I told you in our first conversation, I was like, I have throuple goals, and and I still do, but here's the sticky part is we are told, and we are really well conditioned, to be in other people's energy all the time. And what I mean by that is, we're told that we should be thinking about, considering, being considerate, right, of other people's feelings and experience in all kinds of relationships. And so I've caught myself as I'm getting to know, you know, as I'm dating a new person and I'm getting to know her, and I'm worrying about her experience. I'm thinking, well, I know these things about her, and so, like, I don't want to contribute to, you know, what, I don't want to make her life harder, so I have to be careful, and I don't want to do this or I don't want to do that. And I'm so busy anticipating needs that she has not articulated, and emotions that she has not said she has. And I'm now spending a lot of energy and emotional labor, sort of being in what I perceive as her space and her needs. And that's actually creating, I don't know if she noticed, but it, for me, I felt like it created sort of stickiness and tension for me, because I kind of lost sight of like, but what do I want? And what's actually happening here? And like, an expanded part of that example is that I've been seeing one person for a while, and we were just figuring out, like, what are the parameters of our polyamorous relationship? And then, you know, I had matched with this woman on a couple of different apps, and she is one of his partners. And so,
what a coincidence! Oh my gosh!
Well, it wasn't really such a coincidence, because as soon as she popped up, I was pretty sure I knew who she was. And so, you know, then I had a conversation with him, and this also came up, my old, not so old, but monogamous conditioning of, like, I couldn't possibly, what about jealousy? I don't want to step on their toes. And all of this came from my own assumptions about what would happen if. And meanwhile, she was having great conversations with him about, hey, Annie and I matched. I think we're going to have a date. And he's like, great, awesome. I'm so happy for you two. I didn't expect to be talking about them this explicitly, and they're going to watch the show. They're fans.
Oh, that's so great. Hello. Shout out. What's up?
And then, so I had, like, these amazing dates with her, and then the three of us started talking, like, the three of us haven't hung out yet, but we did have a couple of Zoom calls, because we're like, oh my gosh. Then we went from, I've now been hanging out with this guy for a while, and now I've had these two really exciting dates with this woman who he's also in a relationship with. Everybody is consenting. Everybody is happy about this arrangement. And suddenly we were like, wait, are we in a triad now? Are we a thruple? What is this? And we just jumped, like, I feel like years, or it doesn't have to be years, but many steps ahead of where we actually were in our relationship dynamics. And I got overwhelmed. Right away. And that's not usually me. I'm usually the, like, I want it all. Give me all of the connection and all of the opportunity and all of the time. And maybe it was Mercury retrograde, which I think actually has a big piece to do with it, because it was an opportunity to be like, okay, pause, review, go deep, get clear. And so here was an example of making a lot of assumptions about what everybody else wanted and moving faster than enabled me to even get clear about what I wanted. And we had an amazing Zoom call conversation where we were able to name all of the facets in the room. Actually, from the episode that you did with Roy, the two of you talked about how many relationships there are in any relationship. So it's like, okay, so there's me and him, and him and her, and me and her, and me and myself, and him and himself, and herself, and the three of us. And we're like, how many is that?
Right. You know, like, and there's also the relation, like, if you consider each relationship to be a separate entity, then there's, like, even more.
Yes.
As well. Yes. Yeah. Totally.
So we were like, this is a lot of dynamics to be tending. And I just said, I need to slow down and back up and tune in. And we're just, like, Mercury just went direct a few days ago. And actually today is going to be the day that we'll all be in the same space at the same time for the first time. We'll be at a gathering together. So I'm really excited about that. I feel like I'm ready now to just be very solid in staying very present with what feels good and what feels true. And also I've been doing, this is part of what's hard, is the asking. Like, when we catch ourselves making assumptions, to say, this is how I'm feeling. I'm worried you might be feeling this other way. Like, when I asked them for space, they were both, like, so proud of me. And I told them, I was worried that you would think I didn't like you. I was worried that you would take it as a rejection. Because these are the things that, especially around space, we are so conditioned to codependence that we think somebody needing space to collect themselves is a sign that they don't want to be around us.
Right. Yeah. It's like that rejection that you were talking about at the beginning of the episode. It's like,
yes,
like,
exactly.
Assumed rejection. Yeah. Exactly.
Yes.
Or something's wrong here. Yeah.
Yes. And I did that too. Actually, I then I hadn't been in therapy for a little bit because my therapist changed trajectories, and I'd been like, I'm good, actually. Life is really stable and solid. And then as this relationship with these two people was emerging, I was like, I need to go back to therapy because it's bringing up a whole lot of stuff for me around, like, if I, even around, this all feels so good, something bad must be coming. Like that foreboding joy, as Brené Brown calls it.
Right.
And just, I needed to then like back up and take care of myself. I needed to put the oxygen mask on me so that I could get clear and grounded. And we had, everyone had check-ins along the way. And it's been...
Check-ins are my favorite.
Yes, right? Like, who? Everyone needs to do check-ins. Like, just for the heck of it.
I love it. I actually just started talking to a new person recently, and it's kind of like in the tentative stages. Mm-hmm. For them and their partnerships, they actually use the word drop-ins.
Ooh.
And I love that. I was like, I've been using the word check-in, but I love... I'm like, ooh, yes, drop-ins.
Can you say what drop-in means to you in case there are folks listening who don't share that?
Yeah, what drop-ins mean to me is because, like, check-in is kind of like has this, you know, it's almost like checking off something, right? Yeah, whereas, yeah, it's a lot more cognitive, right? We're like, hey, are we good? What do we need to talk about? Da, da, da. It's like, it's a little more, I don't know, even formal, right? Where it's like dropping, like I feel that all the way down into like my solar plexus, right? Like all the way down in my body. I'm like, oh yeah, like how do I feel? how do I feel? And you know, one of the things that I was gonna bring up inside of what you said when you were talking about how y'all, you know, jumped like, you know, 5 steps ahead, 10 steps ahead, whatever that is because there's this other idea that, again, I learned from this person. I was like, I love everything that you're talking to me about right now. We had such a great conversation. But this idea of projecting onto the energy that you're feeling or projecting onto the attraction that you're feeling. And so, and we do that because we're like, this is what relationship means. And that's what our brain does. And our brain is like, oh, this is what a relationship is. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I should do. When I have this feeling, this is how it's supposed to go. Instead of exactly what you did, which I want to absolutely acknowledge you for, which is like, okay, hold on, wait. I need to like pause here and check in, drop in with yourself and be like, okay, like how do I actually feel about this? What do I actually need? And that's exactly what it is that instead of projecting onto the energy that's there, it's actually being like, okay, let's just like take it one step at a time. Let's drop in. Let's talk about this. You know, let's feel into it even. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's part of the other thing too. And I know that I can relate to that as well, is that people don't want to check in or drop into their feelings. I haven't always wanted to do that. So like Elizabeth 5 years ago, if you would have been like, let's drop into our feelings, I'd be like, I'm out.
Most of us, yeah.
It's like, no, I'm out, have fun.
Why? Can you just name why? Why would you have peaced out if someone invited you to drop into your feelings 5 years ago?
Oh yeah, because 5 years ago I was like, dude, feelings are stupid. Like, like legitimately, that was what I said. Not what I thought it, but I also thought it so much and felt it so much that I said it out loud to be like, oh, feelings are so stupid and annoying. I used to say that all the time.
Uh-huh.
Like, feelings are stupid. Feelings are annoying. Why do we have to pay attention to our feelings? You know, like, let's just create something, you know, why can't we just do a thing? You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing? And like, so now, and I love, again, like everything that you're saying, I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is what I needed to hear 5 years ago, but I don't know if I would have been able to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
I want to acknowledge also that sometimes we avoid talking about a particular thing or we avoid a particular experience because it feels hard. And then now, you know, 5 years later, you might say, oh, well, I can talk about my feelings now because, and something that's been coming up a lot is like people sharing from a really deep intuitive or emotional place after years of putting up with or just shoulding their way through experiences. And when they're asked, why are you sharing now? They say, because it's time. And I want to say, well, there's a lot that happened in the last 5 years that helped you create comfort and safety and clarity and support so that you could encounter your feelings. And my guess is the real reason is because it was scary.
Yes, absolutely. And I was, it's so funny because I almost posted something yesterday or 2 days ago that was that, and the quote was, everything that I have today, at one point I was afraid of.
Oof. Oh my gosh, I feel that. I really feel that. Even now, I'm still afraid of some of the things that I have.
Right, exactly. But it's important to notice that because, and especially in this idea of sovereignty and this idea of noticing what we need and this, because when you slow down and actually notice what you need, that also means that there's actions to take.
Yes.
Like that means that there's, you know, not like you have to do something about it, but it's like there's the choice. There's the choice of doing something about that. And not only is dropping into your feelings scary, but I think the scary part is that then I will have to acknowledge what's there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, yeah. And noticing that, sorry, I cut you off. But noticing that is, or noticing that what you have right now at one point in time you were afraid of is really important because then you can know yourself as someone who can overcome those things, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What were you going to say?
I don't remember what I was going to say, actually, which is fine. And I was interrupting you. To be clear, you were not interrupting me. I want to say that noticing and the overcoming, the concept. Oh, I know, I do remember what I was going to say is about the dropping in. Okay, so there are a few pieces. The noticing and overcoming, I just want to say it's not about pushing through fear, right? Like you didn't push through your discomfort around engaging with your feelings. You learned and were supported and grew and built. I like to say we expand our comfort zone around where we want to get to rather than pushing ourselves outside of it. I think this is something we're all learning how to do. And then the thing about dropping in, I wanted to say is like, you did such a good job of embodying even like, oh, dropping in. Then you can notice your feelings and feel them. And I love what you named about having a choice. So the drop in is an opportunity to say out loud to the other person who cannot read your mind or other people who cannot read your mind, what you are experiencing when you are tuned in to your intuition, your body, and your emotions that otherwise were busy shoulding and building. So now we're tuned in and we get to choose. This is part of the sovereignty. You don't have to say it out loud. Just because you are aware of what's happening for you doesn't mean you're ready to say it out loud. You might notice, oh gosh, I just realized something is not a fit, but it does not feel safe and comfortable for me to say that out loud yet. And then the question is, what would I need in order to expand my comfort zone with this person in this dynamic to get me to a place where I could say it out loud? And it could be as simple as, ooh, I just realized something that feels scary and ouchy. Can I share it with you? Do you have bandwidth to receive this? Consent, baby, essential, not just sexy. And like, make sure that everybody is with, you know, make sure that everyone is tuned in. When Abraham Hicks says, tapped in, tuned in, turned on.
Yes.
Right? And like consciously. So there are just all of these little pieces that are necessary as we're claiming that sovereignty, which is a sweet spot of vulnerability and power. And we don't get there by pushing or forcing or shaming ourselves or anybody else. we've mentioned a few times, and I'm going to like raise it up. We get there by slowing down and dropping in and tuning in and listening to ourselves at least as much as we want to listen to our partners.
And so first we're going to skip the break because we've totally gone into the next section anyway.
Skipping a break? What?
Skipping a break. We're just going to keep going because this is too good. This is too juicy. We're on a roll. We got this. Because this is about, you know, what can you do?
Yep.
Like what, and not only what stops you, but what can you do? And I do want to urge everyone who's listening to do that drop-in check-in with yourself. What has come up for you in this conversation? What has been the stickiness for you? Because sometimes we just feel an icky emotion and we're just like, oh, well, I felt something gross about that, and so therefore I don't like it. You know, like we make that assumption immediately as well. And so really taking the time, you know, what has come up for you in this conversation about sovereignty, about speaking your needs, about dropping into your emotions, about slowing down, about actually saying out loud, you know, what has come up for you, dear listener, inside of this, and how can you slow down and check in and listen to that emotion? And Annie, I'm going to pass this over to you now. So like, what now? Like, what are the next steps or things, or, you know, what can people do once they slow down and drop in?
Okay. So yeah, once you've slowed down and dropped in, just be. That's the first thing, which also can be very uncomfortable if you're activated, if your nervous system is activated, if you've been triggered, and the reason you need to slow down is because you realize you're like freaking out in some way, going a mile a minute, getting stressed out, getting anxious, saying things that you're like, wait, why did I say that? I don't mean that. Either why am I agreeing to something that I don't want to agree to?
Ooh,
why am I saying yes when I don't want to say yes? Why am I saying no when I don't really want to say no? Because sometimes we say no reactively. So the first thing to do is just give ourselves permission to take that space. And I'll back up a step here too and say, if you're in the midst of a engagement with someone, like if you're hanging out and you notice yourself getting revved up, you might, before you have those moments, want to have a conversation with your partners about what that looks like for you. Oh, when this happens, it's a sign that I'm maybe not okay, or that like I need to take a step back. For me, it's when I stop communicating verbally. I'm very talkative and very responsive in all the ways. And if I get really quiet and I'm not, and like nothing, my throat is like blocked, there's no sound coming here, it means we need to step back. And that can happen in a sexual experience, and it can also happen in a conversation, in an activity. It doesn't, you know, I want to make explicit, it's not all about sex, and it's also about sex, and it's also about the different dynamics in the ways that we communicate with each other. So it's helpful to figure out what your signs are, and articulate that so that your partner can even, it's not, and here's the sovereignty piece again, we're not asking our partners to be responsible for us when they notice that that might be happening. We're letting them know when this happens, it's a sign that I'm out of sync and I'm out of alignment, and I'm trying to take responsibility for catching myself in those moments. And you might want to figure out what kind of support you would like from your partner in those moments. Do you want them to tell you, I notice you've stopped communicating? In my case, it would be, I notice you've stopped communicating. How are you doing right now? Let's pause. Let's have a drop in.
Yeah, no, and I think that that's so important as well, because I think that's an essential piece that people miss, is that in asking for support, support, you're not asking someone else to be responsible for you. Like, you are still responsible for you. It's just, this is the support that you are asking for and might need. And in asking for support, people can say no.
Yes, exactly.
That is,
yes.
That's the other part too, is that I think when we ask for support, we assume that people are going to say yes. Again, we're like, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to say yes when someone asks you for support. But when asking for support, people can say no. People are like, no, I actually can't give you that support. That doesn't work for me. And then having a conversation about that, you know? But for me, like, one of my signs that I need to stop, to drop in, like, there's something has gone awry, is that I am quick to be irritated. Mm-hmm. And I know that about myself, and then I can communicate that with my partners. I'm like, anything will be like, oh, that's so annoying, ticks me off. Like, and it doesn't matter. It's like, you know, they put the sponge on the wrong side of the sink. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, it's like, oh gosh. But it's like, but when something like that happens, when I'm being like irrationally annoyed about something, I'm like, oh, something's off here. I didn't communicate something. There's a need that isn't being met. Like, what's missing here for me that is making me so uncomfortable that, like, seriously, like, the dishes are, you know, making me irrationally, like, almost angry. You know what I mean? And so, and then for me, what the support that I need, that I've communicated, is that since I'm irritated, I don't want someone to check in on me.
That's, yes, like,
the
exactly,
catch-22
yeah,
of it.
Yes, yes.
It's like, but the support that I need is just to, like, I just need space. I just need, like, just, I need some space, just back off, just, like, maybe even just, like, come over and just, like, even just, like, breathe with me. I don't know. You know what I mean? But, like, I just need space. That's all. That's all I need. And then once I notice that my partner has, like, given me that space, and my partners are really good about this too. But, like, once I notice that they're kind of, like, backing off, I'm like, oh, okay, perfect. Like, I have this space to, like, deal with this. And then I can actually say something out loud. So it's very interesting. It's so intricate and it's so personal.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What you said about not assuming yeses or nos about support is so important. I want to raise that up for both. So for you, when someone asks you, when someone says, when this happens to me, it would really help me if you could do this, then even if they haven't said it out loud, I want to invite you to imagine the question, do you consent to, like, do you agree to meeting me in this way when I have these experiences, or when I share that I'm having these experiences? So you hear the question, and then you can go, then you need to check in. Does that feel aligned for me? Do I feel, and I want to say, do I feel an enthusiastic yes?
Yes, enthusiastic yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Is the way that they're asking me to show up an enthusiastic yes? Or do I feel like it's a should? And if it's a should, say no and keep negotiating. And from the flip side, as someone who is scared to ask for support, because I've experienced a lot of no, especially in my formative years, or even like I wasn't even allowed to ask, really. And then when I asked, it was mostly no. So I learned asking was very scary. So teaching ourselves that if we don't ask, it's 100% no, right? Like, if we don't ask for what we need, there's zero chance we can get our need met, unless by fluke, which happens sometimes with nonverbal communication. And then we think that we're reading each other's minds. And that is a whole dangerous rabbit hole to travel down. So I want to say, like, if you do realize that there's something that would really help you, in whatever kind of situation, it might be space, it might be a hug, it might be listening, it might be, can we bookmark this and have a conversation about it later? like whatever, you know, I want to throw out creative ideas people might not be thinking about, like whatever, or I need to laugh, you know, can you help me lighten my energy because I'm getting sucked into this hard place and like I want it to, can you help me shift my emotional or energetic space, like any of these things, whatever it is for you, and it could be different in different moments with different people. So this dropping in, tuning in is so essential. And you asked me before, like, what is that, something about, like, what does that mean or what do you do? So a question I find helpful is, you know, what's happening in my body right now? You know, where am I feeling tension? How am I feeling? So you might, in the situation you described, Elizabeth, you might say, oh, I'm noticing I'm feeling really irritated. Like, ugh. Like you might feel like, everything is itchy. Rubbing me the wrong. Yes,
it
right.
Feels itchy. It feels like sensitive. It feels like anytime that someone touches you, you're like, ah, blah. Like, yeah. It's like my body feels really sensitive and like tense and itch. Like the only word I can think of to describe is like, it feels itchy.
I want to say, it sounds like, and you mentioned the word annoyed before, I want to say annoyed or irritated. Itchy right. Sounds like irritated.
Right.
Those are soft words for anger.
Oh yeah, 100%. And like anybody who knows me really well knows that like anger is like my first line of defense. And so like, and that's something that I've done personally, like a lot of work on is because it's like, for me, it's like fear happens, but I don't even feel the fear because I go straight to like anger. I am such a fighter.
Yeah,
I'm so like ready to defend and like here for it and just like confrontation, here we go, you know? And like, I've done personally a lot of work to like, you know, really, be someone who can control is not the right word, but like work through those feelings. Like I've done so much work in like working through those feelings so that I can show up fully for myself and others, because mm-hmm. jumping straight to like fight just doesn't work, you know, most of the time. Like a majority of the time, sometimes it's necessary. Like if you really are in like a dangerous situation, which I totally have been, and it's been very helpful in those situations because I'm like ready to go and like ready to take action. And, but like most of the time we are not in like a super dangerous situation. Most of the time, like that amount of anger is totally in proportionate to whatever is happening. But yeah, no, thank you for naming that, because that's exactly what it is. Yeah
for you. And I really appreciate that you named, you're like, I won't even feel the fear. Mm-hmm. You go straight to anger, but you're acknowledging that what's underneath that anger is actually fear.
Well,
and
yeah.
The anger mm-hmm. is the discomfort with the fear. So you're like, I don't want to feel the fear, I'm just going to get mad at it.
Totally.
And so for, you know, it's important for us to notice, because often what's happening in our body will be a clue about what we're feeling. And then once we have a sense of what we're feeling, we can say out loud, oh, I just realized, I'm noticing, I'm feeling, and even if you don't have a name for the emotion, you could say, I'm feeling tightness in my chest or in my shoulders, or I'm feeling discomfort in my skin, or I'm feeling really heavy. Or you can say, I'm feeling really sad right now. I'm feeling really scared right now. And even saying those things out loud, give our partners an opportunity to connect, to be aware, to empathize, to show up. And for those of us who, I mean, I take it as a sign, as someone who's been afraid to name what's really going on for me, because I'm afraid of being rejected as being too needy. It's so useful to say, I'm having this experience right now, and then have the experience of the person's response. Because if they respond in a way that shows, either by saying, I can't be here for this, or I don't have capacity for these kinds of things in relationships, which I've had a lot of, that teaches me that that person is not a fit for me, for the kind of relationship maybe that we're engaging in at that time. And that's been up a lot. And if they show up and say, thank you for sharing that with me, how can I support you? That's a good sign, you know, that's a sign that you're well met. And we're not making any judgments about people's overall capacity as or who they are as a person, or whether they're good people or bad people, good at relationships, bad at relationships. We're really distilling down to, this is a moment, an experience, a feeling, a need. Can we meet each other here or not? And then you notice if there's a pattern of yeses or nos, what that can portend for the relationship as a whole.
And I think what you're really pointing to is authenticity. Mm-hmm. It's when you are able to, and, you know, in being sovereign, and we've just breezed past all of the breaks because this has just been such on point conversation. No, it's great. It's such an on point conversation that it's just like, okay, we're just going to keep going because this is what needs to be said. But in being sovereign and having that, I mean, it's a high level of integrity and authenticity within yourself and integrity to your authenticity, right? And then exactly what you said is that, and I think that that's part of the fear that people have is that, well, if I say what I need, then some people won't be able to meet me there. And that is true.
Yes, it's true.
And it's true. And that's okay. It's okay that some people can't meet you there because it really is a test is not the right word, but it is
a signal
that, mm-hmm. yeah, maybe this isn't the right fit for both of you, mm-hmm. right? It's not just you. It's for both of you or for, you know, however many people are.
I want to call, but like, I want to just notice that whether it's a fit for them is not your responsibility. Mm-hmm. You are only responsible for discerning what is a fit for you and then inviting them to tell you whether it is a fit for them or not. So I know it makes us feel better when we say, oh, it's good for me to say this because it's good for them too. But I want the part of the sovereignty is to separate ourselves from being preoccupied with what is good for the other person. Let them discern what is good for them. And if you look at it from the reverse, you know, if I say to you, well, I want to tell you this because I think it's good for you, that doesn't feel good. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel good to me. So for someone to assume that, and especially if it's touchy, right?
Yeah.
You know, and even if it's something that you think is good, they might be like, well, I don't like it like that.
Right. Exactly. And not making that assumption. Exactly. Okay. I am going to start to wrap up because obviously we could talk about this for hours. But I'm going to start to wrap up and I want to ask the end of the show questions. And the first one is, what does love mean to you?
It means connection and showing up authentically for connection with myself and others. Also, for me, there's an element to it that's like seeing the humanness with compassion in other people. So I love this. There's an idea that I teach in the spiritual spaces that I'm in, that the hardest and most important work in the world is to love everybody, even the people who make you uncomfortable, even the people you don't like, starting with yourself. And that doesn't mean liking them or allowing them into your energetic field. It means seeing them as a human who's worthy of compassion.
Thank you for saying that. Thank you. All right. If there's one thing, one takeaway that you just hope that someone gets from this episode, what is it?
That it is good and healthy and aligned to choose yourself first, to be most tuned into your own energy, and then choose who else you want to be playing with and who else you want to be playing with you, playing in, you know, in that light sense of whose energy do we want to be playing with, engaging with, connecting with. Choose yourself first. It is good for you. And I know, despite what I said before, it's good for all of us. It's good for all.
Yeah. It's a winning situation for everyone. Yeah. Okay. So how can people find you? What are you up to? How can people get involved with the amazing work that you're doing?
Whew. So great. There are a few different layers. I do facilitate life cycle rituals, weddings, baby namings, funerals, etc., the things that you named at the beginning. And I offer spiritual guidance, especially for folks who are in transition, leveling up, intuitive, and also wanting to work on things related to sex and relationships. I do ongoing work that's called Priestess Power Mentorship. And also, if you want a one-off with just like, I want everything in Annie's toolkit, human design, tarot, oracle cards, crystals, channeling, spiritual guidance, I do one-off sessions called transformation sessions. And I run two women's sacred spaces, red tent circles, one for the new moon and one around the full moon called the Sex Goddess Red Tent. So those are opportunities to hang out with me online in a group space, and have tastes of spaces that are held for this kind of authenticity, vulnerability, and power. And you can find out about all these things on my link tree, and on my website.
Perfect. And all of Annie's links are in the show notes today. Oh my gosh, Annie, thank you so much. I so appreciate who you are, the work that you're doing. Thank you for coming on and sharing about sovereignty. I mean, this conversation has been absolutely illuminating for me, and also personal testimonial to Annie's transformational sessions. I had one and it absolutely was transformational, and it was amazing. So thank you so much for that as well. And yeah, anybody who wants to get a hold of Annie, please go into the show notes and reach out to her. As you can tell from this episode, she's incredible. Thank you every single person for listening today. Thank you for dropping in. Thank you for the ability and the willingness to look at your life, to look at love, to look at relationships in ways that are maybe new for you, or maybe ways that are just really reaffirming to how you already feel, but maybe you thought that it wasn't okay to feel that way. And so thank you. Thank you so much for being here, dear listener. And as I said at the beginning, the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, Courageously Expanding in Love, is live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific. And then each new episode drops on YouTube and podcast Thursday morning every single week. All right, I love you all so much. Mwah!
You have been listening to The Elizabeth Cunningham Show, Courageously Expanding Love, with me, Elizabeth Cunningham. Tune in live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where we shed light on relationships, sex, love, and the ways we wish we could be but never thought were possible. Learn to love yourself and create the relationships you want. Connect with me at ElizabethAnnCunningham.com. That's ElizabethAnnCunningham.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.